Good afternoon, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio, Sinoland in Tianjin, just south of the Tropic of Cancer. Big day today, May 4th, 1919, is the day the world changed forever and the Chinese will never forget. Pictured above, the May 4th uprising in China started in Beijing with 3,000 angry students marching on the streets. They helped fan the flames of revulsion against Western imperialism, destroying their people with drug cartel opium, while raping and pillaging their natural resources. Within days, tens of cities around the country were filling the streets and began demanding Marxist socialism and the dream of communism for their future. 35 million martyrs over the world's longest civil war. They were victorious in liberation from colonialism and a free China on October 1st, 1949. Humanity was never the same since. Here we go. I have written much about China's gripping, gritty, heroic, and valiant struggle during the first half of the 20th century to kick out Imperial Japan. So colonial drug-dealing Western colonialists and their armies and fascist Chinese nationalists, all hell-bent on destroying Mao Zedong and the Communist Party of China after its founding in 1921. Check out the China Trilogy below, and I invite you to read them. The background, events, and people involved on all sides are infinitely fascinating and inspiring. Starting in the early 1900s, Chinese intellectuals began to call for completely rejecting old China, as they called it, and traditional Chinese philosophy, which branded as the source of all the country's hapless efforts to kick out Western and Japanese imperialists, regain their independence. New youth movement called for beating the West at their own game, fully adopting Occidental governance, teaching research, development, and culture. This radical platform shows just how frustrated were China's intellectuals about one-fourth of their people being kept addicted to drugs by the West, and the ease with which these foreigners could rape and plunder the citizens and their natural resources with impunity. Others, like Mao Zedong, felt that a middle road was preferable, keeping what was good about Confucianism while filling in the gaps with Western culture. In the interim, the 1917 Communist Revolution in Russia freed that country from its previous capitalist owners. Many Chinese, like Deng Xiaoping, Zhou Enlai, and Zhu De, were in Europe studying Marxism. This was the solution that many Chinese patriots were looking for. Marxism was Western, thoroughly anti-capitalist and anti-imperialist. Founders of the CPC, including Mao Zedong, fully moved to this national goal, rejecting China's failed Republican Western-style democracy. During World War I, 180,000 Chinese went to France to work in the China Labor Corps, abbreviated the CLC, to support the Allies against Germany. I traveled to that area to visit the largest CLC cemetery in Europe, interviewed the town historian, and was given valuable access to many historical documents. All this is explained in wonderful detail in book number 3 of the China Trilogy, China is Communist, Damn It. Quid pro quo for the Chinese was France's, Britain's, and the U.S.'s promise that after the war, they would return the huge province of Shandong, a German colony, back to the Chinese people. To appease Imperial Japan, these allies signed a secret agreement with the Japanese, promising to give Shandong to them. The Chinese delegation found this out in Versailles during the post-war negotiations, much to their humiliation and shame. The Chinese representatives were treated with contemptuous disdain, like yellow niggers. Completely betrayed by Western imperialists, they returned to China to make the announcement. Was like an earthquake across the land. The news hit the Chinese media about the West's treachery, blatant racism. All hell broke loose, and its first manifestation was the May 4th uprising in Beijing. Whatever regard the Chinese had previously given to the West, they modeled to emulate, evaporated overnight, and its place as contemptuous disdain for white racism and capitalism. This marks the 100th anniversary of that fateful day. A century later, it looms large in the minds of the Chinese people. It is fully taught about in national school curricula. It honors in honor of all the students who lit the spark in 1919. May 4th has been coronated National Youth Day. This week, Baba Beijing has been in full swing to commemorate the beginning of a movement towards China's eventual communist liberation. On April 30th, President Xi Jinping invited a large crowd of young people to the Great Hall of the People to give them a rousing speech of inspiration. Then he told them, and I quote, "The essence of patriotism is having unified love for the country, the party, and socialism." She added, urging young Chinese to follow the instructions and guidance of the party and remain dedicated to the country and the people. Young people are also urged to establish belief in Marxism, faith in socialism with Chinese characteristics, as well as confidence in the Chinese dream of national rejuvenation. In the new era, the theme and direction of Chinese youth movement and the mission of Chinese young people, she said, to uphold the leadership of the CPC and work along with the people to realize the two centenary goals in the Chinese dream of national rejuvenation. And pictured above, a Chinese youth in the Great Hall of the People watching a presentation on the May 4th uprising, which evolved into a full-blown movement. She and other leaders are calling on the nation's youth to be patriotic and join in China's rejuvenation, volunteering their time across the country. There's a photo of Chinese youth at a May 4th uprising ceremony in Nanjing. A historical retrospective is being shown at the New Culture Movement Memorial. It's also known as the Red School in Beijing, a hotbed of early communist activity where youthful Mao Zedong worked at one time. I visited her to help write the China Trilogy. I'm sorry I'm going to miss this special centenary exhibition. Meanwhile, the West is still in denial about its sordid, criminal 110 years of rape, plunder, and drug cartel dealing in China, 1839 to 1949, guilty as charged by the Chinese people. Anglo land has never been able to accept that China is communist socialist. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising. Leo Sinoland signing out. Please make a donation up above to PayPal. I would really appreciate it. There are scores of attacks, hack attacks on it every week and hundreds every month, and we spend a lot of money to keep it from being crashed. Thank you.